I knew Christmas would never be the same. 13 years ago, I was on internship, just as intern Pastor Miriam is now. And my family had come to visit for Christmas because as a pastoral intern, I wasn't going to make it back to New Mexico for the holiday. For a while, Christmas Eve and the days leading up to it felt as normal as I would have expected for such a busy time of year. Because I'd been in the practice of attending all of the services at my home congregation on Christmas Eve, the three services that we had in Ohio felt fairly normal to me. But after all of that was over, when the final candle had been extinguished, the last carol sung, my supervisor and I had finished having a Nerf gun fight, and the church was dark as night, I went home to open gifts with my family. Because that's what we did. We opened gifts on Christmas Eve night. But as I sat there at almost 2 a.m. on Christmas Day morning, drinking eggnog and opening the gifts that had been sitting under the tree, I thought it felt a little weird. Weird that I was sitting there with my family in my house, not theirs. Weird that I was so tired from the full day at church and really would have been happy to change our pattern to open gifts a few hours later after we'd had some sleep. But for some reason, I just wanted to stick to our tradition because it felt a little bit more like home. Weird that our gifts were being passed to each other from under a 2-foot-tall tree that I had placed on a table because it was free, and free was pretty much what I could afford. But that tiny tree was not the 8-foot-tall tree that usually stood in my parents' living room. And the donated ornaments on my tree were not the ornaments that we had collected as a family. As I sat there looking around, it felt as if Christmas had somehow been permanently altered, that it would never be the same. And in some ways, it didn't even feel like Christmas. Which is a bit how some of the Jewish people who had been in exile felt when they first returned home and they rebuilt the temple. Like things would never be the same. Jerusalem had been under Babylonian control for many years by the time that King Cyrus of Persia pronounced to the people who had been held captive in Babylon that they could return home. Not only that they could go home, but that any of those among you who are his people, may their God be with them, are now permitted to go up into Jerusalem and Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let all survivors, in whatever place they reside, be assisted by the people of their place with silver and gold, with goods and animals, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. The people of Israel gathered together in Jerusalem at the time of the Festival of Booths, which is a holy festival in the Jewish calendar, much like Christmas and Easter for us. It seemed like the perfect time to rebuild the temple, to declare that they were home for good, and to celebrate that fact. So when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments were stationed to praise the Lord with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people responded with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But sometimes things will never be the same. Many of the priests and Levites and heads of families, old people who had seen the first house on its foundations, wept with a loud voice when they saw this house. Though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted so loudly that the sound was heard from far away. Much like that 2-foot-tall tree sitting in my living room 13 years ago seemed to be a poor substitute for the 8-foot tree that normally stood in my parents' living room, to some of the returning exiles, the reconstructed altar in the temple seemed like a poor substitute for the altar that had formerly stood in its place. where the temple had once been large and glorious, an edifice that pointed to God's power and might simply by its existence, it was now a shadow of its former self. Sometimes things will never be the same. And when that's the case, there's likely to be a mix of emotions. Even when we're excited about what the future holds, that excitement is often coupled with grief for what has been and isn't now. The people could not distinguish the sound of a joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. Hope and grief are intertwined, often occurring simultaneously within us. Not only in groups of people as it is in the text here, but within each of us. Which is, I think, something many of you know well. There's that first Christmas when your family comes over to your house rather than you going to theirs. That first Christmas with your new baby, realizing that you'll have lots of Christmas presents to put together instead of just lounging around like you used to. Then there's that first Christmas after your kids move out. That first Christmas without your parents, missing them more than you've missed them maybe since they died. That first Christmas without your spouse. Feeling the emptiness of a holiday spent without him or her. Sometimes things will never be the same. And it's tempting to long for what was without realizing the beauty of what is. And in so doing, miss what God is up to now. I wonder how many of the priests and Levites missed the beauty of the news that God had called them back home. That God was making sure that they were able to worship in the temple once again. But for as much as it is tempting to long for the past, it's also tempting to look forward and to only look forward, not honoring the grief of what has been lost. Those things and people who are important parts of our story. And in so doing, fail to recognize that God is present in every time, in every place, no matter how different or difficult or trying it might be. God was with the Israelites in exile and then was with them again as they celebrated the rebuilding of the temple. God is with us in both the most difficult circumstances of our lives as well as those that are the most joyous. God is always present in our hope and in our grief. It's true, that Christmas when I was on internship was the turning point for when things would be different. I mean, I was training for a job that would force me to work on Christmas pretty much the rest of my life. But for as much as things were different, the most important part was very much the same. God was there. God was there that Christmas Eve, present in worship and among my family. Just as much as God has been present in every Christmas Eve before and after. God was also there the first Christmas after Brady and I had married, when my family didn't make the trip out here and we spent the holiday eating at two different houses with two different meals. And God was there the first Christmas after Brady died. This year, as we wait for Jesus to break into our world again, I'm struck by God's presence in the midst of my own intertwined emotions, both the grief that has reemerged, but also in the joy of spending this holiday with my fiancé, Philip, and his family, and mine. God is present in all of it. Whatever this time of year holds for you, remember that God is present in all of it. For God is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever. No matter how much the world may change.